Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to talk to you about two things that fit together in our life. One is what we have, okay? What we actually possess or what we have and benefits in our life and all of that. And then I want to talk about what we experience and how these two fit together in, well, every day of our life. And a lot of it, of course, has to do with, you know, my attitude, your attitude, and our understanding. Let's face it, we look at possessions or benefits that we have in life or things that have been provided for us or things that we have worked for or things that God has, you know, blessed us with, regardless of whether we feel like we're poor or we're wealthy or somewhere in between. Our attitudes about what is ours and what we experience in this life. So I want us to look at some scriptures this morning. Going to share with you a personal story, and we're going to go into a time of praise and worship to the Lord. I'm going to jump around to a few scriptures. If you want to turn to these, you can. If you can't quite keep up, you know, because I might go a little fast just for the sake of time, I want you to know that these are recorded, and usually within a few days, these are up on the website under podcasts and messages, and you can kind of play and pause and go over some notes or whatever you want to do. And so if you want to follow along or you didn't bring a Bible, in the pew rack in front of you, there are Bibles, and you can use that. In fact, if you're here this morning and you don't have a Bible that is your own, I want you to know that that Bible in the pew rack, you can open that up, put your name in it, take it with you. It is yours. We have more. We can replenish them. That's what they are there for. Those Bibles are a gift to you. His Word is a gift to all of us. And so that the gift of His Word is not even from this church. It's from Him to you. And want you to make sure that you have a Bible if you need one. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. It reads like this. This morning I'm using the English Standard. Is it English Standard Version, ESV? I forget sometimes what the letters mean. You know, there's a variety of Bibles. So, English Standard Version. Psalm 24, verse 1. And David, he writes like this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, or the earth is the Lord's and all that is in it, including its inhabitants. In other words, the world and those who dwell in it. And he talks about how it was founded and he continues to go on. But verse 1, all that is in it. Everything that you and I have, every benefit, every possession, the way He has made life, the air that we breathe, it belongs to Him. He is the God of creation. And He has inspired man to manufacture and do things, and I want you to know all that there is, okay, all that there is, belongs to Him. I have to be careful on what I call mine. We refer to things, well, that's mine. And that's acceptable because we have identification towards it. And what it means is, it's not so much that it's mine, it's that I am the steward of that particular thing. I am the overseer, the manager, and I answer to the Lord for it. For everything in our life. My truck, the attitude is it's His truck. I'm the steward of it for the time that I have it. My golf clubs are His. I wish when I played I would feel the inspiration of His. All that I have, your Harley? John, did you get one? Oh, my Harley. Yeah. my Harley, and I'm going to talk a little bit, actually. I'm going to share a story a little later about that, that it is his. All that we have is the Lord's. We are stewards of it. Sometimes we lose sight of this. It is mine. It's mine. And I will decide how it is used, how it is protected. Now, part of being a steward is taking care of the things in which have been given to us. The little basket that sits on the shelf in your kitchen with fake grass and fake eggs in that are decorative, that in my mind have no real practical purpose, but, you know, once again, that doesn't matter. Because the one I love likes it. And it is hers, the Lord's. Everything. All the earth, all that is in it. We have not been able to make something out of nothing. Whatever it has come from that we have manufactured has come from what the Lord has provided. It is His. Would you say this with me? All that I have really belongs to the Lord. That's our declaration this morning. Psalm chapter 16. Verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. In other words, all you're my cup and my portion. You sustain me. You uphold me. You provide all that I need. Basically, all that I have and all that I experience belongs to you. It's His. It is His. It's His. Don't wrestle with it. Don't fight with it. I mean, if you have to work through it to come to this point of attitude and outlook, it will change the way that you begin to care for things, because sometimes we have things that we don't really care for like we should. And if we had the accountability that said, you know what, this really belongs to the Lord, I'm supposed to be taking care of this better. Right? Even as I say that, it reminds me of this workbench that is in the garage, and tools and things are just piled on it. It is not organized right now. There, I'm being open with you. Those all belong to the Lord. I am positive that is not how He would keep it. Easy, buddy. I'm already feeling the conviction. You don't have to add, that's right. I took that very personal, Josh. No, I'm kidding. Not how the Lord would keep it. That's right. Okay? But I just think they're my tools. They belong to Him. I want us to look at what we experience in this life. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Now keep hanging here as we go through this. Keep this point of all that I have is the Lord's. It'll change the way we look at things, change the way we live and the way we make decisions. But keep hanging on to that as we branch here to what we experience in life and how these two marriage together in our daily living. Verse 6, chapter 3 of Proverbs. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do. In everything we do, in our way, acknowledge Him. And when we do that, it says that He will direct our steps. So Sometimes we wonder what happens. Many times we wonder, why is this happening in my life? Or what is going on in my life? Or my life is out of control. I have to come back to step one. Have I committed or acknowledged him in all of my ways that he would now direct my steps? In other words, if I am not acknowledging him in all my ways, he may not be directing my steps. It might be me. I might be just walking and doing my own thing and fighting against this principle of acknowledging the Lord in all my ways. Because when I do, he directs my steps. Now, don't think that if we acknowledge the Lord, it's like this good luck charm. That now if I acknowledge him and say, see, I acknowledged you, now you have to direct my steps, and therefore, from my perspective, nothing bad should ever happen in my life. He is the Lord, and he is faithful, and he will take us through troubled times, and he will see us through as we acknowledge him. That is so much better than stepping on our own and having hard times and being without his help. And stepping in those times all on our own, and then out of desperation saying, God, see, you don't listen, you don't care, you don't know what's going on in my life. We haven't even acknowledged him until that point. And then when we acknowledge him, it's with blame. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and on all that you have, and he will direct your steps. That has to do with our daily living. It has to do with laying our head on the pillow at night, and though there's things that may be going on, we've acknowledged him, and he's going to direct our steps, and then we can put on our head at the pillow, our head on the pillow at night without anxiety, without worry, because we trust him. We have faith in him. We have done our part in the condition for this particular blessing. We have acknowledged him in all of our ways, and now he will direct our steps. Look at Psalm 37, if you would. Psalm 37, verse 4 and 5. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, delight yourself in the Lord is delighting in him and who he is and what he has for you. Find delight in that. And as we do genuinely, he grants the desires of our heart. But keep in mind that as we delight ourselves in who God is and all that he represents and all that he has for us, our carnal desires begin to change. Oh, if I could just fake being delightful in his presence and fool God, he would really give me that brand new Corvette. That is not what the scripture is saying. Turn to the person next to you and say, did you hear that? Come on. That's not a rhetorical, you know, thing here. We wanted you to say it. Now, if you have one and God has blessed you with what he owns and has allowed you to manage, please come by and drive by. I'd love to see it. I'd like to celebrate with you. And I will not walk away in envy, because I really like my 1989 Ford F-350 dually. I'm content. Although the bench seats are not as comfortable as the bucket seats on newer models. But it's a truck. You know, the cool thing is riding around this area when it's not a daily runner for me, obviously. When I drive that around, it is amazing to me the people that will give me the steering wheel wave. Because they think I'm a farmer. Because only a farm boy would drive an 89, you know, four-door, eight-foot bed dually with the kind of the maroon stripe down the middle of the truck, and the top and bottom are kind of a cream color. It's a throw. It's like, ah, that's a farm boy right there. I go through Norwalk, they all think they know me. Before I bought that old truck, my wife was real concerned when I showed her a picture of it online. You're going to park that in front of our house? And it's so big. Because it's like, where are you going to park this? You can't hide it. It's not going to fit in our garage. You're going to park that in front of our house? I said, don't worry. They drive by. They see that truck. It's big enough. It kind of hides the house. I said, you watch. If I park that up in the corner of the yard, even though there's no sign on it, people will stop and knock on our door and say, is that truck for sale? I said, if they do that when I'm not home, it is not for sale. So delight yourself in the Lord, who he is, all that he has, his ways. He'll give you the desires of your heart, as our desires will change. Verse 5 is this: commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, he will act, or he will direct your steps. Here it is again: commit your way and do what? Say it. Say it. Commit your way and trust him. Not I commit my way to you and I said it and I mean it. But as soon as I leave this conversation with you, I'm taking everything into my own hands and doing it my way. And then when it doesn't work out, we say, oh, that scripture doesn't work. It's irrelevant. Ah, blah, blah, blah. It's a fairy tale. Blah, 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 blah. No, maybe we've missed the element of trusting him. And if things go different than you hoped or planned, does our trust begin to waver? Or will we hold to the principle that we are going to acknowledge him, commit our way to him, we are going to trust in him, and he's going to direct our steps? For those of you who are borderline control freaks, I know you want him to tell you what's going to unfold in every step of the way and draft the plan for you. But then it is submitted to whether you approve or not. And if you approve, then you will trust. What about trusting him without knowing every detail of the plan that you may not agree with? Including all the things that we have in this life and what we experience in this life. I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. Well, we'll start with verse 1. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord has promised to give to your forefathers. Verse 2, and you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Why don't you just stop right there? They wandered, if you know the historical story, and I'm not going to go all the way back and why and what had happened. So if you don't know that story, you can go back and you can read about Moses and Pharaoh and God's people being delivered and him bringing them to a promised land and how they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. We sometimes feel like we are wandering, and where is this straight path in our life, with what we have and what we experience? And things unfold in our life, and we think, Why am I wandering around? Why am I going through all this? Can't you just get us from where we were bound to the promised land in just a straight line? They wandered, and much of it had to do with their disobedience to God, not trusting, though he revealed himself in obvious ways. It says here that I want you to remember that the 40 years that you wandered in a wilderness, I led you. In other words, they were disobeying him, and he allowed them to wander, but he did not leave them. He has not left you. You may think you are living life absent of his presence or his awareness. I want you to know that you are not. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what is in your heart. The Lord already knows our heart, right? But it is a wonderful thing for us to recognize what is really in our own heart. And through the experiences of this life, and how we handle that which belongs to the Lord and all that we experience in life and what we have and benefits, and through the struggle and through the trial, it exposes us. Because we can say, Lord, this belongs to you in my life. And the moment something happens to it, we are all panicked and worried and brokenhearted. And, oh, that was my holy Harley. We say we commit our way to you, or we acknowledge you in all our ways, or we trust you. The way that that is proven, what is really in our heart and not just coming out of our mouth, is through some of the struggles in this life. Experiencing things that we at times do not understand. And I know that we want to understand it. And why did this happen? And we want closure. And we want... Listen. The goal is not closure. The goal is to trust the Lord. Whether we know why something happened or why it is a mystery to us. It is okay to inquire. It is okay to understand. It is okay to connect the dots. But when God is not helping you connect the dots, do not make up your own connections. I have watched faithful Christian people in moments where they do not understand what they've experienced in their life. They come up with their own concoction. And then they all say, well, I guess it's just God's will. And I've looked at how they've connected the dots, and not that I am the judge of everything, but in the connecting of the dots, there are obvious things that go and work outside of God's character that he had nothing to do with in that. And then we try to cover it all, well, I guess it's just God's will. It exposes us what we have and what we experience. Not so much that God knows what's in our heart, because he already knows it. But the exposure of that to my own understanding in my life, exposing my heart, is so I understand, do I mean what I say, and where do I need to change, and where do I need to ask forgiveness so that I continue to have right relationship with him, that I can grow more into acknowledging him in all of my ways, that I can commit my way to him, and I can trust him. That then he will direct my steps, and whether it is through tough times or good, and both, and a mixture of that throughout my life, I will begin to understand and know with an assurance that God is faithful, and what is in me and what he has worked in me and where I have been transformed by the renewing of my mind, rather than just saying the right things, hoping I kind of believe it, and then living out of my own carnality and fleshly attitude. I'll tell you a little story. John brought up, you know, hey, Pastor, don't forget your Harley belongs to the Lord. It's not yours. I know that. Last summer, I took a little road trip on the Harley with a buddy and meeting some other guys and taking a few days off to go for a ride. I was heading to northern Minnesota and was on the bike, and I was heading up 53 north of Duluth, and there's a little town that's a dot on the map and a couple little gas stations or whatever. And was it Canyon or Cotton, Dennis, do you remember? Cotton, Minnesota. And the bike was running a little hot. It was summer, a little hotter than normal. I thought something's not right. It just doesn't seem to be running right. Just before that, at a previous stop for fuel, it wouldn't start. I had a lot of cool. Something was not right. And I'm coming up to Cotton and pull in for fuel, and that thing will not start. Fuel it up, it will not start. It's running hot. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? Because we're heading to Hibbing. It's another, I don't know, 40 minutes or so, 45 minutes. And now I am just north of Hermantown or Duluth, where there's a Harley shop. And you're at this little no place. If you're from Cotton, Minnesota, you know, it's very nice. But it's a nowhere place. And, well, what am I going to do? Let this thing cool down, sit around, still won't start. Make some phone calls. What do you think's going on? Talk to a couple of Harley places, service departments, all that. And, you know, like, gee, this ain't good, you know? And I have witnesses. I wasn't in a panic. I was concerned, but I wasn't in a panic. I wasn't cursing the Lord. I was thinking, well, if this is really what you want to do to your bike, okay? You know, I committed my way to you, Lord, this morning. You're directing my steps. This is what we're going to encounter today, and this is what we're going to encounter. So, finally get a hold of a biker buddy of mine, and he gets hold of a fellow gang member and motorcycle club member. And they said, no problem. We're going to drive down. We got the trailer for the bike, and we'll take you and run you back to Duluth. I called Duluth. Or Hermantown, Duluth, they're kind of together. It's kind of like Onalaska La Crosse, except probably a little smaller. But, lady says, oh, yeah, you're going to be coming after hours, but don't worry. I just happen to be working late tonight and doing a bunch of the books and stuff, so let me know when you get here, and I'll come and open the door, and you can wheel it in. What are you kidding? Was this like around 11, midnight? Somewhere in there. We roll the bike in. And, what dealership does that at that hour? That somebody would even be there. So I'm saying, well, you know, thank the Lord. And they can go to work on it and call me tomorrow or whatever. And so I got a vehicle ride, you know, back to Hibbing and, you know, sleep the night and talk to him the next morning, and basically, yeah, come on, get it. We think we got it fixed. Hey, good news. So get a ride down to, you know, an hour away to Duluth and get the bike and get in there. And I say, well, yeah, you know, we think we kind of, I said, wait a minute. The phone call said it's ready. Yeah, well, you know, but you have to be responsible to take this. You know, I'm like, okay, what's with all the disclaimers? You know, not to be critical. Like, okay, well, get this, head down the highway, going easy, you know, is this all working out, and kind of get up to highway speed a little bit for a little while, and all of a sudden, the thing goes, And oil is coming out all over my pant leg, and I'm starting to leave it on the highway. I grab the clutch, I turn the motor off, and I swerve in on this corner and pull into this gas station. Cotton again. I mean, it could have happened anywhere along that stretch of highway. Anywhere. Okay, anywhere on the highway. It happened right there at Cotton. So I turn the corner, swerve in, and park this thing, and just, you know, it's just oil. Same gas station in the middle of nowhere. But God didn't have me just stranded on, you know, on the side of the highway of nowhere. At least, you know, he took me to the gas station again. The next morning from last night, there, and, you know, I'm thinking, oh, gee, now what in the world do I do? Calling the Harley in Duluth, and, oh, we don't have anybody here now because they're all out at Sturgis, wherever that is. See, I stayed here-ish. Anyhow, they don't, well, we don't have anybody. We don't have a trailer that we can come and get you. I said, you don't have a trailer? I mean, what Harley shop does not have a trailer that they hook up to a vehicle to come and get you and bring you back to their dealership? They all do, but not this one. What in the world? So, we're there, a few of us, and one guy's grabbing tools, and another guy's kind of reaching under my bike, and I'm just, I don't know what's up with this. Great. Now the thing really doesn't start or run. Guy pulls up in this diesel truck, pulls up next to it, puts down the passenger window. I go over to him, he goes, hey, you need some help? I said, well, you know, I just kind of told him about the problem. And I said, I called Duluth. They supposedly fixed it, sent me kind of on my way. And he goes, oh, I'm friends with the owner. Let me call. He calls our service department. Spoke to them in a way that I probably wouldn't have. He says, well, that's not right, because he owns a Harley, too. And he calls the owner on his cell phone, who's out in Sturgis. So, you know, couldn't get a hold of him. He says, you know what? I'll get you, we'll get you over to Duluth dealership. You know, why don't we throw that thing in the back of my pickup? Like we're just going to pick it up and throw it in there. And then he looks at the bed of his truck, and it's full of all kinds of stuff. I mean, his bed is just filled with stuff and, you know, a big pot's in the middle. And he says, oh, listen, I got a cabin just a little ways away from here that I'm actually on the way to. And I got to go get rid of this stuff. See, we're having this big corn roast, and we got people over, and we're putting it all in that pot. And, yeah, I just stopped here for butter. He says, get this. He says, I was supposed to pick up the butter. My wife normally does all the grocery shopping. So they're all out at the cabin waiting for me. I got all this stuff in my I had to pick up butter. So where I was at, I stopped in town to the grocery store. They didn't have any butter. He said, now, I don't normally do the grocery shopping, but I mean, what grocery store does not have butter? He goes back to another store on the way. Grocery store. Goes in to get butter. They don't have any butter. He's thinking, what? Come on! So he said, on the way to the cabin, I'll stop at this little gas station for butter. He goes into this little gas station and gets butter and comes out. It's the gas station in Cotton where I'm at. See, God uses butter shortages to take care of those who acknowledge Him and commit their way to Him and trust Him with His stuff and with what they experience. Now, I could be exposed in all of this. Where are you? Where are you, God? Well, he says, I'll be back. Wow, great. I mean, I'm just trusting the Lord that this guy's going to come back. I mean, he's having a gathering. This is out of his way. We wait. He comes back. And we went through all kinds of stuff to try to get that bike in the bed of his truck. Because, you know, it's not like you carry a ramp. I mean, he tried to back up to a hill, but, you know, as he went up the hill, it was too far from the bed of his truck, so it gets further away as he's going up. Dennis and another guy went and borrowed wooden planks. Well, stole. They checked with the guy. He wasn't home. They come back with stuff. Now, we returned it. They returned it. In the meantime, I go into the gas station and say, you know, what do you got around here? I got to get that bike into that truck, and we can't back up to the hill. It's too far away. Do you have anything? He goes, well, you know, the back part of this building, the owner just stores stuff. He's got some classic cars and stuff back there, and it's really kind of, I don't know. Let's go take a look. We take a look. We can't find anything. And finally, he looks at the floor, and he says, hey, will that work? It's one of those metal grates. It's about 12 inches wide. It goes in the floor and allows a drain to flow through the concrete area. And grab this thing. Oh, wait. So I just grab this thing. And we put it on the hill into the bed of the truck. We get the bike on there. We strap it down. Two other biker friends that he knew come over and talk to him, a guy and a gal, and they kind of helped us get it on there. And, you know, we get it all strapped down, put in there. I take and put the grate back in the back and say, hey, great. And so, did you? Thanks, great. Okay, just. Ha ha! We had the Duluth, and they got the lift, and we get it off, and we leave it there. And cool thing was, I get to talk to this guy in the truck because I'm riding with him with the bike to Duluth again. Now, this is a stranger. Talk to him. This is when he begins to tell me the whole butter story. And how, you know, about this God he's not sure he believes in. Because I redirect the deal, you know, in the conversation. I just ask questions and, you know, I say, I'll go to church. I said, oh, what church you go? And then this whole leads into the whole now. And he's like, well, you know, I went through some hurtful stuff in my life. And he begins to tell his story and we're talking. And I said, it's interesting. You got this question about God, yet there's no butter, and I'm in hell, need help, and I'll say, you know, I believe the Lord does things like this. So I get to meet you, my new friend. You're being so kind. And yet you say that, you know, you're not sure about this God, and yet you believe that if you do good things come back to you. I said, that's a biblical principle. Sowing and reaping, so I get to tell him about that. And we're talking and all of this. And he says, hey, listen, you know, we drop off your bike. Why don't you guys come back over? Come out to the cabin, have some corn, and, you know, come on and drink some beer. And I said, oh, thanks. We got to get back to him. I said, you know, we really don't drink beer. He goes, oh, well, we got other stuff. He doesn't mean soda. because he starts to list off what he has. I said, listen, that's very nice of you. I appreciate it. We exchange numbers. We get to the Harley store. We drop off the bike. It's now after hours. And then he begins, now his family and everybody's waiting, he begins to stand in the parking lot while the few of us are standing around him, all Christian brothers, and I'm watching, and the guys begin to share their testimony, and he's listening, and he's asking questions, and he's offering some of his personal life. And all of a sudden, we have this great conversation in the parking lot. And I go, it's your bike. And what I experience in this life, I have committed to you. I'm so glad that in this moment of sharing, I'm not standing here with guilt and condemnation about how I conducted myself back when the bike broke down. That I didn't, blow a gasket myself. That I didn't curse your name. That I didn't, question all this, where are you? To stand in that moment and the Lord to expose what's in my heart, good or bad, where he has brought me to and where he still needs to bring me further. But it's wonderful to stand and know that what you proclaim, you know this, and what you pray, God empowers you to back up. I wish every story in my life could tell you of his grace that empowered me to do that, but there's been other exposure where, why do we blow a gasket? Commit your way to the Lord and trust him. There's way more serious things in life than something mechanical breaking down in your life. By the way, that was the bike trip that I never got to where I thought I was going to go. I never got to Hibbing with my motorcycle. I got as far north as Cotton. Twice. I tried. But that wasn't the trip from hell. No. That was the trip that God designed. Brock came and got me the following day when we put the bike up in the bed of his truck. We took it to La Crosse Harley, told him what happened. I'm thinking, oh boy, yeah, cha-ching. Where am I going to get this? Maybe I'll talk to Jim. No, I'm kidding. We got kids in college, yeah, right. Hey, Harley gets back to me and says, we talked to corporate in Milwaukee. And we've only seen this one other time ever. And they asked what kind of customer you are and your service record and all that, and because you don't abuse a bike and there's no signs of abuse and everything is good and all of that. Corporate in Milwaukee is sending you a brand new motor stamped to match your bike at no cost. Oh, so you wanted your bike to have a new motor, too. There's way bigger things in life. But in the moments of trial and unknown and frustration, all the things that come to us about things like this, and certainly way more serious things than stuff, will we embrace his word and his way, and our attitude towards things and towards what we experience in this life? The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. If we commit our way and trust him, even in the moment of testing, where it seems like everything has blown apart and you don't know what to do and you're at a loss, will you trust Him? Do your part and trust Him. And He will direct your steps. He holds the lot of your life. Worship team, why don't you come? I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what is testing you. I don't know what you have anxiety about. It may have nothing to do with stuff. Maybe it has to do with what you're experiencing. Health, circumstances, something that you just can't seem to understand. You go through your resume with God and say, listen, I've tithed, I go to church, I'm pretty nice to people who deserve it at least. Because we're supposed to be good to those who can't pay us back, right? I could never pay the fellow who picked me up back. He wouldn't even take money. Now, I gave him some anyhow. I didn't put stipulation on it. Hey, no, you take this money. Just make sure you don't buy beer with it. It wasn't that. I care, but I don't care what he does with it. I was supposed to do right and show my gratitude to the Lord. But we're supposed to love and do things that people can't pay us back. He wasn't even looking for pay. This guy, you know, he wasn't a believer. And here he's doing something that looks very much like a Christian supposed to look. So I don't know what you're experiencing. And I don't know your attitude towards things. It's all about our attitude towards the Lord and who He is. And from that point, it affects all these other things that we can live by these principles. Why don't you stand up with me, please, all over this room. We're going to go into a time of praise. We're going to go into a time of worship. And this is what I'd like to encourage you to do this morning as a response to His Word, as a response to God. Is if you are concerned in light of God's view of your attitude towards things. Because things in and of themselves aren't necessarily evil. Okay? And I've met people who have a lot of stuff who have a Christian attitude about it. A God attitude about it. I've met them. I've met people who don't seem to have much and they're about as corrupt with their things and stingy with their things you can get. So this isn't about economic status. This isn't about whether you have one talent, five, or 10. It's not about that. It's about our attitude towards things and our attitude towards what we experience in this life, and as a result, our attitude towards how we care for people. This belongs to the Lord. I'm a steward of it. But He's wanting to lend it to you. He's wanting you to use it. My golf clubs back when I played were not about golf. I mean, I enjoyed it. I wanted to do well. I'm competitive in nature, but this was about connecting with other people. The Harley, because it's the Lord's. Do I enjoy it? Do I like it? Yes. I'm grateful, but it's His, and it has connected me because it has connected me with a whole other group of people out there that wouldn't talk to a guy who looks like me. See, our attitude towards the Lord, Him exposing us, showing our attitude towards things, what we have, and the things we experience in life, both good and traumatic. Will we trust Him and commit our way to Him? Let Him direct us. Walk with us. Lead us. Be with us. And minister through us to other people. Listen, it's not my favorite thing to have something break down and be stuck somewhere. But if that's what owning this machine means, I'm good with it. Because I had moments where it was kingdom moments. If I'd have got straight to Hibbing and rode around and come back home and wouldn't have had this, I would have never had the opportunity to share the gospel with another person. I wouldn't have had the moment where God could expose me about my attitude. So, where are you at? As we worship and praise Him this morning and look to Him, if there's some things in your life that you need to realign with Him, some things you need to crucify and some things that you need to embrace and live out after this moment, that as we worship this morning, I just encourage you, if you want to pray where you're at, or you want to come and stand or kneel around this altar and have a private moment, maybe you want to come as a couple or a family, what individual, it doesn't matter. Or you say, there's some things going on in my life that I do not understand. I can't grasp it. I want to ask you for explanation. And if you want to share something with me, great. But I want to come to a place where I just trust you, whether I feel like I have some mental closure or not. I need to be transformed in my thinking that you hold everything and I trust you. You see what I cannot see. And so I have to trust you. I want to trust you. For some of you in this place, your life is out of control, either with stuff or things you experience, and you've been damaged, hurt, and bruised. Well, I want you to know you're in good company this morning. We've all experienced it. And maybe you need to come to a place where you say, I have not really trusted the Lord. And Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to come into my life in a real way. Forgive me of my sins and help me from this moment on to follow you. You can have that personal prayer right where you stand, right where you sit this morning. But I'm going to say during this worship time, if those things can begin to unfold in our life, you're struggling through something, something's going on, find a place of prayer. Say, Lord, I got to trust you. I want to commit my way to you. I don't understand all of this. It's hurtful to me. But I've got to know you. I've got to know that you're with me. And I want to grow in my trust for you. That's what this meaningful moment is about, why we worship him in this place.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.